I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham. Joining me this evening is Jay Clash T-shirt Cross. How's it going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Just admiring your T-shirt.
Thanks.
Just the two of us this evening. No Joe Branton, no Matt Knight. They're off doing far more interesting things.
What are they doing? Joe's at a family meal?
A family meal.
Where's Matt?
Can you imagine having a meal with Joe Branton?
I reckon he is actually, like, very boring with his family.
Maybe. I don't think he is. I reckon he'd just get all boozed up.
He's got, like, six siblings, I think.
Something like that.
And he's the eldest and the least successful.
But most handsome.
I don't know. I've not met him.
I don't think he is. I mean, that's
probably not.
No. Matt's just out. I don't know what he's up to. Doing some pedal stuff or something more important. So, for that reason, and for the fact that we have had about an hour and a half's worth of technical difficulties,
Think we were going to be able to do it.
It's going to be a slightly shorter podcast this week. We're recording for the first time straight into Adobe Audition, which hopefully this is going to work and sound fine. Who knows?
I don't.
Flying by the seat of our proverbial pants. The other reason it's going to be a bit of a shorter podcast is there's literally no news at all this week. Like, nothing has happened. So, obviously, we get sent, like, news and stuff and also, like, go through, you know, trawl through, like, guitar news blogs and stuff to see what's going on. No one's put up anything since Summer NAMM. Like, there's not been a single new product or news story or anything for ages, over a week.
It's pretty wild, isn't it? But that is quite interesting in itself, actually, because you say nothing has happened for ages, like a whole week. Can you imagine, like, that being a sentence that we would have said 5 years ago?
Yeah, the whole game's changed that, hasn't it? Because of the internet and, you know, the rise of things like this podcast and YouTube videos and stuff. People have got to, do a bit more stuff.
Yes. Well, like us trying to
fill a podcast.
With
absolutely no news. It's weird because after all the Summer NAMM stuff, which basically there was enough news for 2 weeks worth of podcasts, there's sort of not really been anything released.
Yeah, I'm struggling to think of anything. What did I see? There was a thing that I saw this week that I hadn't seen before that was very cool.
New Boss SY300, have you had that yet?
Yes, that was it, actually. But I've been too busy, I haven't had a chance to sit down with it.
Have you heard anyone playing it in the for real life?
No, but that is happening. I'm getting a proper, like, I've booked in, because nowadays I just have to, anything that I need to, like, properly booking proper time for has to be done a week or so in advance. It's very strange. Next Wednesday, I'm getting a full
demonstration,
full demo with it. One of the top Boss guys is coming down, and we're doing some proper.
Is he the top Boss of Boss?
No. He's in Japan,
so he's not one of the top Boss.
Not
guys.
Like the end of level Boss.
Okay,
it's like a mid level Boss.
Mini Boss.
Yeah.
Sort of like Bowser Jr.
It's one of the fellas who throws the boomerangs.
Hammer Brothers.
Yeah.
Or Boom.
Is that what they're called? The Hammer Brothers. Yeah.
Initially, yeah. Yeah. I was listening to a thing about Mario Brothers today, and it just reminded me that I've not played Mario 1 for a long time.
My issue with playing Mario 1 is...
It's too good for you?
No, it's too easy to get to the end in, like, 12 minutes.
What?
You just go, like... Right. You just
that's a challenge.
Well, I mean, I can't actually do it in 12 minutes, but you know what I mean? Like, it's easy to cheat and get to the end very quickly.
Yeah, but that last world is really hard.
Yeah, I suppose. I've not completed that game in probably 15 years or something.
I did it a few years ago on the 3DS because you can like have save points. You can do like save states. So makes it a bit easier.
Yeah.
It's a bit more in line with like what you think of games now, like not just one session.
I had the game that frustrated me the most in that sense was I had Earthworm Jim for the Mega Drive.
So hard.
Earthworm Jim for the Mega Drive was one of the most ridiculous games I've ever played. And if you died, you went back to the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
It wasn't the beginning of the level.
No.
The beginning of the game. So you could get to the very last boss. And if you died, that was it. You just went back to the beginning.
What was the... Was it Earthworm Jim 2 where you had to bounce the dogs... Only you had to bounce something, like little puppies, across the screen. You were the dog. You remember Earthworm Jim's little dog,
yeah,
mate?
Yeah.
And you were
carrying,
like, a trampoline, and you had...
Oh, no, I think that was in the first... I think that was the first one. Yeah.
Okay.
That was, like, one of the... You know how, like, in Street Fighter, they have, like, a little...
The car level.
Yeah. It was one of those sort of interim missions.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, really hard.
Good game.
Really good game.
Shall we play that instead of watching another rubbish episode of True Detective this evening?
I'm not sure how everyone else will feel about that.
Just watching us play Earthworm Jim.
On that note, this is good. This is us completely not talking about guitars anymore. I finished House of Cards Season 3
rubbish.
This week. I tell you what, House of Cards Season 1 and 2...
Rubbish.
Absolutely amazing. The fact that you didn't get on with it, I really surprised you because I really, really liked it. I liked it so much. Season 3, not very good.
Season one's not very good.
Season one is really good. Like you didn't get to the end of season one. There's the last episode of season one.
I watched the last one.
You didn't.
And I was asleep.
The last episode of season one and the first episode of season two are amazing. Proper like 1-2 hit combo. Season three was just so rubbish. It nearly got to the point where something wicked was gonna happen. And that fella who plays the politician in The Killing.
Really? He's in it?
He plays the Russian president.
Of a bit of a European accent, that's fine. Russian.
Generic, Danish, Russian.
Something
whatever.
Like that.
But yeah, that wasn't very good either, which I'm really disappointed in because I really like Spacey. But
poor.
Yeah.
Should we do some questions that actually relate to guitars?
Oh yeah, that's why we're here, isn't it? I forgot we were recording. I thought we'd just
hang out. Chatting. Yeah. Just chatting. So, yeah, because there's been so much news over the last couple of weeks, we've not really touched questions.
We haven't. That's a very good point.
Which has meant we've had a huge backlog. So I thought we'd just kind of go through everything that we missed and go over it. Starting with Josh, who says, best bang for your buck guitar around £350. Birthday in a month, looking for something with humbuckers. Epiphone Dot or Les Paul, perhaps? Or should I be looking at something completely different? What's the state of play, the state of the union, if you will, at £350 these days?
There is so much choice at £350. There is an untold amount of choice for £350. For £300, you can get an Epiphone Dot. For £350, you can get an Epiphone Dot and a proper Epiphone branded hard case.
Nice.
That is great. That's really like proper good stuff.
The Dot. It's just kind of been omnipresent, hasn't it, for the last like 20 to 25 years. Just works.
It's just, I mean, what is there to change about it? I mean, the only thing maybe they'd want to do that would freshen it up a little bit is if they didn't do a Dot, but they did like a block inlay.
Yeah.
335 Epiphone. I can see that happening.
But
at
then
some
that's
point.
Kind of the Sheraton, isn't it?
Kind of, but the Sheraton's also a completely different guitar, isn't it? You know, it's, well, only in terms.
It feels really different. The neck profile's definitely different.
No, neck profile's different. The headstock is completely different in terms of the aesthetics.
Dot's chunky, Sheraton slim.
Yeah. I think like a block inlay, especially after the popularity and the success of the 64 335.
Yeah.
The one with the nylon saddles.
Yeah.
I can definitely see there being something similar in the Epiphone range, because the thing is there's, you know, there's not a huge amount of choice in the Epiphone hollow body range. And I, you know, there's...
Well, there's casinos there are, and stuff, there are, but they're more money.
There are a lot of guitars, but there's not a huge amount of choice within... You know, there's... You can get a Casino, you can get a Sheraton, you can get a Dot. And then there are also, you know, the 175s and...
I see what you mean. So there's not... You don't get, like, different years of Dots.
That's exactly what I mean. As opposed to, like, a Les Paul, where even in the Epiphone range now, you can get a traditional... Or they do a 54.
Yeah.
As well as the standard and the Plus Up Pro and the custom and the...
All the different outfits.
Prophecy and the outfits. And, you know, and the tributes and the Tribute Plus. And, you know, there's so many. But with the Epiphone hollow body, it's like, okay, cool, yeah. There's a 335 copy.
That's what you get.
There's a, you know, a 175 copy.
It's kind of always been that, though. Like, I don't remember there ever being, like, specific reissues on the Epiphone side of things.
But it does seem a bit strange that they didn't do it. I mean, for me, the best thing that Epiphone could possibly do is just make sure that they're always in stock.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how often do you have a conversation with someone saying, oh, I'm really sorry, I can't get you a Casino, and I don't know when I'll be able to get me one? Because they're you know, it's so difficult to get these things in stock, you know.
Yeah.
It's so often that one or other of them will be out of stock, and it is a bit of a shame. That would be the best thing that Epiphone could do to keep those things. But I really think that doing like a 64 block inlay 335 copy,
that'd
for
be
like
cool.
Even if it was £500, that'd be a wicked guitar.
That would be really cool.
You know, that's something. But I digress. That's not really what we're talking about here. I really like the Dot. My only problem with the Dot is, and why I started rambling on about that, is it is a little bit sterile.
Yeah, they're quite... sterile is probably the word, isn't it? They don't fight back very much.
No, it's very clinical.
It's weird because they've got that chunky neck.
Yeah.
But they don't... There's no, like... They don't have much personality about
them. No, they look cool. But they do look a little bit, you know, it's just like, oh, you can get it in natural, you can get it in sunburst or cherry. You know, it doesn't look like, even if you covered up the headstocks and you held up a 335 and a Gibson 335 and a Dot, you're like, well, you know which is which.
Yeah, they kind of always look the same.
Yeah, but that said, it is a great guitar for the money. Personally, I think you'd probably be better served going for... a Les Paul Standard. I think the Les Paul Standard Plus Dot Pros are really good guitars for the money. A little bit over 350. I think they're like 379 or something like that. But you get coil splits. You get a really nice solid guitar. But for me, and I realise I sound like a broken record, Classic Vibe Tele.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking like, wait, you can't get a Baja Tele for that
No,
much.
You can't get a Baja
but
Tele.
You can
but you
get
can
classic
get the Classic Vibe 50s Tele. Or something that actually I sold one to someone this week, the vintage modified 72 Thinline Deluxe.
Oh yeah, they're really
good.
That's
a cool guitar.
Really good guitars.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been a huge fan of those wide range humbuckers.
Yep.
I think the I like when there's, you know, I quite like having sorry, that was me.
Always you.
I know. My phone doesn't go on silent, it's broken. That one.
Carry on.
I don't really like the when you've got two wide range humbuckers. I think it works quite well if you've got the one bridge pickup and then the neck pickup. You've got that wide range humbucker. You can get, you know, kick on like a big muff or something, and you get like really
sounds good. You can roll the tone off as well because you've got the four tone controls.
Yeah, and just
The four controls.
Controls. Yeah, really dark sounding. Really, you know, really muffled. Really cool.
Yeah.
But I think in the thin line range, because it is semi hollow, I think it really brings out the sound of, you know, the actual guitar a lot better.
Yeah.
And it sounded absolutely amazing. Fella had that plugged into an El Capistan. It just sounded amazing. Like, the guy had come in to buy like a 100 quid delay pedal, And he went, oh, this Strowman stuff, people have said that, like, can I give it, and plugged it in. He was just like, there's no point in...
It'll get you, won't it? That's the thing. You try the Strowman stuff, it's like, yeah.
Just get dragged in. I think I'm going to get a deco.
Do it. One of us.
I know. I think it's the next way. It's the next thing. It's the next one
it's
to
the
go.
Next thing.
But the thing is, my worry is if I get a deco, I'm just not going to... Like, if I don't have the deco, I've got more of a, like, an impetus to, like...
Wait, you're not saying that the RE20 might fall in your...
No, standings. Not at all. Quite the opposite.
Okay.
Like, if I don't have the deco, maybe I'll be, like, more proactive in taking the tape echo.
Oh, out. The real one?
Yeah, the SRE555. Maybe I should start taking that out.
Okay.
I don't know.
You've got the most ridiculous collection of delays.
Yeah.
Or you will do if you get a deco.
Yeah,
so dumb.
But yeah, anyway, for me, the Classic Vitellis are the best guitar you can buy for
pretty much that whole range.
Yeah, like, they. I mean, they do the so the Classic Vibe stuff is there's I think there's three Tellies. So there's 250s models, a butterscotch one and a blonde one, like a vintage blonde, which has they've got slightly different pickups. I think the blonde one has got Alnico 5s and the Butterscotch one has got Alnico 3s, I think. I can't remember exactly.
Okay.
And then they also do a 60s one, which it looks great. It's just a 62, double bound, rotor board. And then there's a bunch of Strats as well. There's a 50, you can get 50s in Fiesta Red or Shoreline Gold.
Yeah, there's a Shoreline Gold one.
And then the 60s you can get in, they sometimes do in Sherwood Green and they do a Sunburst one.
Yep. And then the Simon Neil, if you wanted a
Simon
Neil's
not part of the Classic Vibe, I don't think. I think it's just
It's a Classic Vibe 60s Strat, isn't it?
With his
name on it.
Just the Classic Vibe stuff, they've never put out a bad guitar. Everything from the Classic Vibe range is brilliant.
Yeah.
So there's so much choice for £350. So much choice. Or just don't bother with the guitar at all and buy a deco.
Random tone generator and a deco.
Yeah, random tone generator and a deco.
Yeah, I've got nothing else to add, really. Like, if you're looking at, like, a classic-style guitar, if you're not talking about, like, Schecter and ESP and stuff,
yeah,
then you're looking in the right places, really. Like, I guess a Dot or a Les Paul Standard or a Tele or a Strat. I mean, you can't go far wrong.
No.
There's nothing really SG shape for that sort of money, is there? Because the G400's a bit cheaper.
Bit cheaper and... Yeah, I don't know. I've never really got on with the G400 too much.
Thing is, they used to be good, but...
Everything else got better.
Everything else got much better.
Yeah.
You know, you compare the G400... Say, like, five, six years ago, someone came in and went, okay, I want to get either a G400 or the Squire Standard Tele. You'd be like, yeah, Standard Tele's a bit rubbish, get the G400.
Yeah.
But... that's when the Classic Vibes didn't exist for about the same money. So it used to be that you'd have to spend a bit more and get a G400. Now it's like, no, spend more than the slightly more than the G400 and get a Classic Vibe Tele.
But I mean, even I'd probably even go Standard Tele over a G400. Like, even cheaper than the Classic Vibe. I think the I really really like everything that Squire do at the moment. And the G400 again is just, I think the problem is you don't have to spend, and I realise that it's very easy, you know, I could probably be found guilty of just, like, automatically trying to upsell, which isn't necessarily what I'm trying to do, but for not a huge...
Always hustling.
But for just a little bit, I mean, I say a little bit more, you know, you're still talking a couple hundred quid, you could get an American-built Gibson SG.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not that much more money.
No.
And it's... really good guitar. Really, really good guitar.
£350 is a bit of a kind of weird price point. I mean, I understand why it's that, and it always used to make sense because, you know, you'd get a Mexican Tele or you'd get a... Whereas now, it's a bit more confusing because the top of the Squires are really good. You can kind of almost skip the Mexican Standard series and get a American... You can go up, you know, spend a few quid more and start to get, like, Baja or American Special.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole lot you can do with, a bit more than £350, or if you spend that, then, you know, get a top end Squire or something.
But, you know, as I say, I mean, we're now at the point where £350 is not a completely unreasonable amount of money to spend on a couple of wicked pedals.
Yeah,
and it will transform the way that you play guitar.
Yeah. But then you get into the thing of like, should you spend 350 quid on a guitar or should you spend it on pedals?
Well, I mean,
depends if you're Matt Knight or not, I guess.
Well, I mean, but the other thing is if you're surely if you're listening to this podcast, I realize this won't, you know, be everybody, but if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably got a couple of cool guitars. Are you spending 350 quid on a guitar because you want a backup guitar?
Or
are you just looking to spend a bit of money on some cool gear? Because if you're just looking to spend 350 quid on some cool gear, go down the pedal route.
Yeah.
You know, you've probably got a cool guitar. You've probably already got your Baja Telly because you listen to this.
Of course.
This podcast.
You've got a Baja Telly and a Blues Junior because that's what everyone's got. So
get, you know, have a look at a couple of pedals. I don't know. It's, you know.
Chris says, what's the best budget mic for miking up a guitar cab for live use? Now, I was going to go with the standard response of the Shure SM57, mm-hmm. which is, I guess, the mic that I've seen in pretty much every single gig I've ever done.
Yeah.
But you threw something else into the mix, which came from the Facebook group where
we did,
got this question.
Yes. And I can't remember the... Is it the... I think it's the 609, the Sennheiser. I just need to look it up. I didn't...
I think it's a 609E.
I think it's the E609.
E609, there we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, and let me just... Yeah, it is the E609. And I had a bit of a chat with the guys from Sennheiser about this. If I remember correctly, it was previously the E309.
Okay.
And they changed it to the 609, and the only change...
Twice as good. Nearly twice as good.
Nearly, not quite. The only difference is, previously, the 309 was just silver... And then they changed the 609. They put the back of it, they made it black because people kept putting it the wrong way around.
So oh, is it like a sort of pencil mic type thing then?
No. It sits flat against the cab as opposed
to
pointing
at the
cab.
Oh, yeah, no, I know the mic that you mean. Yeah,
so you can hang it down in between the head and the cab.
Yeah.
And it'll hang there. But people, because it's flat...
Putting it the wrong way around.
So they made it black on the side that goes up against the cab. And yeah, they sound really, really good. Really
cool.
Good.
That seems to be the general consensus on
that. Yeah, and not a huge amount more money either. Like I think 90 quid.
Okay.
And what's a 57? I mean, probably 70 quid.
Yeah, they're like 69, 79 quid, something like that. The difference being, I think, with the 57 is that you can use it, and the reason that venues have like a whole bunch of them is that you can use it for other things. Like you can use it to mic up a snare or hats or toms.
Well, when I was 16, I played in a ska punk band, and the trumpet and the sax player always used 57s.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that works.
Until they got their clipper mics and then would run around the stage.
Wireless.
Stuff. Yeah. Woo!
I think we should put some footage up.
I don't think
that's Facebook
group. No, I don't think
I'm going to find some and put it up there.
Probably not.
Yeah, good stuff. Will says, what was your first tube amp? Did it blow you away or if you were used to using solid state or modelling? We've gone over this a fair bit, like in terms of what our first amps were.
Yeah.
But what was your first tube amp? Because you had a Line 6 Spider for a long time.
I had a Line 6 Spider for a very long time. And I sold that. And then I had that for like, I think I was possibly still working at the shop when I had that. I'm not sure, but I didn't play guitar for a long time. I was just playing bass.
Yeah. I think when you started at the shop, you still had your Gretsch and you still probably had that Spider.
Yeah, I did.
How did you ever get a job?
I don't know. I don't know. It was weird, wasn't it? But no, I... Because at that time, when I first started, I went through a...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Long period of not really playing guitar, just playing bass.
Yeah.
And I just used your Mark bass.
Yeah, you did.
Little Mark for a while. Yeah, really, it's like when I first started working in a guitar shop, I wasn't really that into guitars. I just graduated university and I just needed a job. I was like, listen.
What about your degree in guitarology?
It was economics. And
right.
That was your minor. Yeah.
Right.
I wasn't really that into guitar gear. I played guitar a bit and I needed a job. I was just like, listen, I'm just going to get a job for like 6 months just to chill out after university. And then I'll look and get a real job somewhere else. And 6 years on, I'm now the manager, and the only thing that I care about in the entire world other than football is guitars. I came to getting into gear quite late, and so I think actually my first tube amp was my bassman.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm surprised. Have you never had a Blues Junior?
No.
Okay.
I had a, which is weird, I know, and it makes me feel like a bit of a hypocrite.
Because you should have bought one.
But I didn't buy one. I bought a Horror Deluxe.
Oh yeah, I forgot that you had that.
Which was too loud, so yeah. I sold it.
Yeah, so you should have got Blues Junior.
But then I bought a Supersonic 22.
Yeah.
And a Fox AC 30.
Yeah.
Which is too loud. And is currently in Exeter.
Yeah, that's weird. I saw you post that up on Facebook.
I didn't
today,
know where it was. I didn't know where either of them were.
Where are my amps?
Yeah. So currently my Supersonic is in Aberdeen. And
what?
My Supersonic is in Aberdeen and my AC 30 is in Exeter and I'm in Brighton without an amp.
How are you going to get these back?
Don't know the answer to that question.
Okay, good. Let's have an update over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, but yeah, first tube amp, first real proper wicked tube amp was my bassman, which I really like. And Joe is trying to get me to sell to him. And part of me thinks I should, but also I think I'll regret it if I do. Like, I'm kind of at this point where I don't, like, I've just started playing in a new band and I don't really want to use the bassman for it because I think I'll probably blow it up, because I'm putting so much drive through to get the sound that I want. I want to get one of the Orange OB ones.
Will you? I mean, you can't really blow an amp up with front end distortion,
but it's more to do with how fragile those amps are.
Yeah, that's true, but it's not. I think it's going to be more that it will just break.
Yeah. What I want to do is I think I'll regret it if I sell it.
Yeah.
Like how I sold my Les Paul Standard to buy my Les Paul Traditional when I didn't need to sell the Standard to get the Traditional.
That
but I was like,
really good.
I was like, look, I've got the Traditional now. I don't need the Standard. So yeah. I sold it and I really, really regret selling it. And I feel like I'll do that now as well if I sell the bassman to just because I'm buying another bass amp.
But can you realistically rely on that bassman if you go and do a gig?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Why keep it?
Because it is very...
Why not fob it off on Branton?
Because it is very cool.
And then borrow it when you need it.
But it's very cool, isn't it?
It is cool.
And you know what? Currently, it's making an excellent stand for my telephone.
Brilliant.
Which is what it's doing at the moment.
You've still got a house phone?
Yeah, I needed it for when I got the internet. Apparently
weird,
I don't know, but there we go.
Weird. My first valve amp, believe it or not, is the Hughes and Kettner TubeMeister 5.
Oh yeah, maybe that was my first valve amp.
Sat there.
Yeah, that was mine.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, because same thing. Like, obviously, primarily I'm a bass player, so for years I just had solid state bass amps. Like, the only amp that I owned since 2005 until this year, or maybe the end of last year, whenever I bought that amp off you, was the Mark Bass Little Mark 1.
Such a great bass amp.
The best. Probably the best amp I've ever heard. And like Branton will go on and on about how it sounds rubbish, but it doesn't. It doesn't.
It sounds great.
Good.
The only thing that I thought sounded better than that was actually the Valve one.
Oh, the classic 300.
The Valve head that they did.
Very different sound.
I think better.
Okay. Okay.
It sounded amazing.
Controversial.
It sounded amazing. I really wanted to buy that when it came out.
A lot of money.
It was an awful lot of money. And the thing is like, would you buy one of those or would you buy
SVT?
SVT.
I'd probably buy the Mark Bass.
Or the Fender Super Bassman.
Yeah, these days I'd buy a Super Bassman because that sounds like an SVT, but it's super reliable.
Yeah.
Which an SVT
but
is not.
But it does weigh an absolute...
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, and actually the Mark Bass Little Mark 1 is a bit heavier than a modern compact amp because it's not a Class D power amp. It's still just a solid state power amp. But it's manageable.
It's not...
A Bassman is not manageable in any way.
But, yeah.
With regards to the Tubemaster 5, like, being the first Valve guitar amp that I've owned, it's wicked. And actually, having that and a load of pedals, I'm playing guitar every single day now, is something that I've not done for years. Probably since, like, 2003 or something. I'm literally playing guitar every day.
So what you're saying is right up until the point where you started working in a guitar shop, you play guitar every day.
Yeah,
and then you
basically
worked in a guitar shop for 14 years. And now you don't work in a guitar shop anymore and you play guitar every day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Weird that, isn't it?
How the other half lives.
Indeed. But, I mean, the thing is, working in a guitar shop, you do play guitar every day, but you don't play it in a meaningful way. Get a guitar off the shelf, make sure it's in tune, play a lick, give it off to, you know, the person who wants to actually play it for a bit.
Yeah.
And then you come home and you're like, I don't want to play guitar, I want to play FIFA.
Yeah.
But now I make at least half an hour every day to like plug everything in.
That's really cool.
Ironically, not on Mondays because that's when we record the guitar podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, Gavin says, is there a point in your music career you should make the jump from a budget priced and modded guitar to say a more pro level guitar and amp? Or do you just keep playing what you love? E.g., if you're starting to tour a lot with your band, do you move up from the Squire Telly to a real American Telly? You've probably got most insight on this, having done touring more recently and interacted with touring bands more recently.
So I saw this question on the Facebook group earlier in the week, and it is something that I've been thinking about quite a lot recently, is, and I don't know whether it's me as my sort of, and it's very strange that I think this, because like I'm very like the four of us are very like we're real advocates of like quality cheap gear.
Yep.
Like, you know, as I said, the Classic Vibe Tellies, amazing guitars. You know, PV Raptor, great amp.
Not Raptor, Rage.
PV Bandit.
Bandit,
great amp. But when I go and watch a band and they're using an Epiphone, I do sort of think, why don't you buy a Gibson?
Get a studio.
It'll be so good. Like, it'll feel so much better. Or, you know, I see someone using a Mexican standard telly, and I'm like, oh, just spend a
tiny bit
more. I just want to go over and be like, Baja
telly.
Or like Joyo pedals, for example.
Yeah.
So many Joyo pedals. I'm like, just buy the Boss one. Like,
are there really a lot of Joyo pedals out there?
A lot of Joyo pedals out there. Yeah, a lot. Like, a lot. But, and it's, even when I'm thinking it, I'm thinking, oh, you are such a bell end. Like, and I can't say anything to anyone because, A, nobody will care what I'm saying.
Yeah, they'll be like,
B,
I don't know, it was cheap.
Everyone will think I'm a snob because I'm a guitar shop. But it's just, I just want people to be as excited about gear as I am, is what it simply comes down to. And, like, the other week I put on a band from Ohio called The Sidekicks. And as I think as we said in the podcast the other week, the singer of that band was playing the same one of the Les Pauls that I own and the AC30 that I own. I was like, oh man, we've got exactly the same gear. It's so cool. Like, isn't that amp weird? And he was just like, I don't know, really. Just like, it's Les Paul. And the amp is the one that I just hired for the tour. And
brilliant.
I'm like, oh, okay, great, cool. So, like, you know, it is difficult. But whether you need that stuff for... you know, as a real jump up. I don't think you need to. I you know, I think it's just our snobbishness that sort of requires it. I mean, what do you think?
I think it definitely, when you, like, I've seen various bands over the years who, because, like, we do punk stuff.
Yeah.
You see a lot of bands start out, they're really young, they get, like, Epiphones and Squires and stuff, and, you know, cheaper amps. And then they do a bit of touring, they, like, do a record, and in the studio maybe they get to use some slightly better gear, and then they go out and actually buy some better stuff. And it just, like, raises the whole thing. And it's not necessarily that, like, the Epiphone is, you know, nowhere near as good as a Gibson Studio. Like, the Epiphone is still a fine guitar, but when you multiply that across guitar, amp, another guitar, another amp, bass amp, better cymbals.
I tell you what, cymbals
that aren't cracked.
I think in a live setting, I think it's the drummer who suffers most from cheap gear.
Yeah, 100%.
If you're watching a band, if I'm watching a band and they've got cheap cymbals that just aren't ringing out, aren't resonating, I'm just like, I can't handle this.
I wonder if that's because that's a truly acoustic instrument, whereas the guitar, obviously, like,
if
you've got a Epiphone Les Paul but with some nice pickups in it, like, that's kind of like a better sound. It's quite hard to get cheap drums and make them
sound
better.
Good.
They just sound what they are, you know, they're just an acoustic instrument.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I hadn't really thought about that, but I guess that does make sense.
So that's my thoughts on it. Like, every little kind of minor advance that you can make will make your band sound a bit better. So I don't think there's ever, like, a point where it's suddenly like, okay, we need to all go and buy good gear. Like, I think eventually you'll just get better and
but
better.
That said, I mean, you know, sometimes it does work, and I know that you're not, like, I quite like lo-fi, like, distorted recorded, like, bands who do that sort of, like, you know, kind of cheap sounding recording that obviously isn't, but it's, like, made to sound like that. Like,
yeah.
I'm those sort of, like, indie punk bands that do that sort of thing. Like, there's this band Parquet Courts from New York, who I saw.
I think that was the name of an old people's home in my parents' house.
I saw them on, I think it was Letterman. It was one of the big US talk shows.
Okay,
and the singer was playing an Affinity Telly.
What?
Yeah, he was just
like, to smash it at the end, right?
No, just an Affinity. That year, their record was like, they put out a record that year, and it was like in the Guardian's like top 10 records of the year. I think it made Pitchfork's like number one record of the year. You know, it was like, it was a big indie record.
Yeah,
but yeah, they were just using like cheap stuff.
Wow,
it was pretty cool. So you can do it. I think it's just, as with all these things, I think for me the most important thing about a band is, maybe not the most important thing, but one thing that separates out an okay band from a good band is a band who is aware of their sound.
Yeah.
You know, who has chosen to make themselves sound how they do for a reason. Like, in this band that I've just started, like, we're at a point now where we've nearly got the songs down, got a couple of bits to, like, sort of shore up.
Yeah.
But then I just want to spend a bit of time just, like, really making sure that everything sounds right.
Working out which delay pedal to bring with you.
Well, all of them.
Yeah.
But, you know.
In fact, you're not even there.
I actually recorded at home on a loop pedal, and
you just post that to the venue.
Yeah. And they just push play, and it's right. Yeah, it's all good.
Who did that? Oh, that band.
Death Grips.
They did a tour, but it was just under like the music of Death Grips, and everyone was like, "Oh, amazing! Going to see Death Grips tonight." And what they'd done is just like post a CD to all of the venues with a backdrop, and just said, "Put this up and put the CD on."
People went absolutely mental.
I know they did. It was horrendous.
That's quite funny.
I think it's quite funny as well. But imagine if you paid like 15 quid.
Death Grips club night.
Hang out with some other Death Grips fans. Anyway, let's do one last question. And then we'll do some Patreon stuff. Sorry for the slightly short episode this evening. Like I said, we had like an hour and a half of actually trying to get anything recorded. And who knows if even this is recording properly. We'll see. It's Russian roulette of podcasting. Which one shall we do? Patrick says, what is the most versatile guitar? It's quite open-ended, that.
Yeah, because are we talking about brand? Are we talking about model?
No. What is the most versatile guitar?
So, is that in terms of a guitar that you can modify to do your own thing with? Because I think if that's the question...
Let me read Patrick's question.
Okay.
Patrick says, what is the most versatile guitar?
Telecaster.
Really?
Yeah.
A two pickup, three-way switch guitar with no trem is the most versatile guitar.
You can have four-way switches?
No.
You can have two... That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying is what, like, you could do so much with a telly. You can do so many different things.
Yeah, you could put a Floyd Rose trem on it. You could...
How do you interpret that question then?
Well, Line 6 Variax.
Oh, come on. Like,
well,
that's...
if you're right, so you've got a load of guitars in boxes. What's the most versatile guitar out of that?
Yeah, okay. The Line 6 Variax.
Yeah, it's the most versatile guitar.
Because... I don't think that's what Patrick is asking.
No, he probably is asking for a Strat, because a Strat, in terms of pickup selection and stuff, probably is the most versatile guitar.
Nashville Telly?
A Nashville Telly could be the most versatile guitar, with a B-bender and a Fishman Power Bridge.
And a G-bender as well.
Yeah. And G-Force tuners.
Yeah.
So you can do loads of open tunings. No, to take this seriously, it depends what you are doing and in what way do you mean the most versatile. Because if you are thinking, I want to do a whole range of different genres with the guitar, then telly could definitely be up there, because I've seen people with single coil tellies do metal stuff. I've seen people do country, pop, folk, like disco, I guess, could all be telly stuff. Or are you saying what is literally the guitar that will make the most different types of sound than the Line 6 Variax or similar?
Well, there isn't a Line 6 Variax anymore.
So it's the Yamaha...
The Yamaha Pacifica Standard. No, Variax Standard.
Is
Yamaha,
that what it's called?
Yamaha Variax Standard.
Okay.
That's what it's called. Yeah.
Okay.
I have also... I'm really into the... and I talked about this, I think, last week. The the Ibanez 721.
Oh, yeah.
I just think that's such a cool guitar.
Yeah.
Two humbuckers, but a five-way selector switch. So you go from humbucker to inside coil to both inside coils to inside coil to humbucker.
That's pretty versatile.
What a cool combination of sounds.
And they've got like those like rosewood tops and stuff.
Do a maple top and they do a rosewood top. And it's such a cool looking guitar. Such a cool looking guitar. And really, really lovely to play. You know, you've got, like, because it's an Ibanez, you can, you can get like a really, really super low action on it.
Yeah.
Which is something that you can't really do with a Telecaster.
Well, it depends what you call low action, I guess.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, what I call a low action is not what most people call a low action.
No.
I want to be able to drive a bus under...
Yeah.
My strings.
That's the only way it should be.
Yeah. But I think that's such a cool guitar. I really, really like that. But yes, if you're being, really on it, then yeah, I guess a Pacifica Standard would be.
Actually, one last question. Matt says, any ideas for an end of year meetup yet? No, nothing definite. But what I think we should do is maybe hire somewhere and people can bring their gear down and we'll all play some guitars and check out different pedals and maybe we could put together a little band.
You know where might be good for that?
Go on.
Remember you and me went to that Kotaku night?
Oh, yeah.
Sticky Mike's.
Yeah.
Not too long. There's a venue in Brighton called Sticky Mike's Frog Bar.
Yep.
Which once a month does... Is it Kotaku? Is that...
Yeah, it's a gaming website. Once every couple months.
I guess the Kotaku one is, but they do this thing called IM Arcade, which people just bring down all their own gear. And they set up and people bring down PlayStations and Xboxes, and they bring down PCs, and they bring their own TVs and stuff, and they plug everything in, and everybody's just like cool to play other people's consoles and stuff. Yeah. Maybe we could do something like that.
We could hire the venue downstairs. There'll be a bar upstairs. Yeah. People who want to do drinks and stuff. And then there's a stage. So there is there stage. Any bands who want to, if we put together a band, maybe?
Yeah.
We could do that. Maybe in November?
Yeah. I reckon we could figure it out.
That sounds vaguely doable, doesn't it?
It does.
If you want to get
an interesting little concept.
I think so. If you want to get involved in that, and maybe we'll talk to some manufacturers as well, see if they want to bring down some new gear.
Yeah.
Some stuff for people to try.
I think so. I think we could make it work.
If you want to get involved in that, I guess best bet is we'll start organising it on the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. You can also, if you want to get involved with the podcast and help us do this and stuff every week, patreon.com/guitar nerds. If you donate from $5 a month, you get an extra half an hour at least a week of this. These people have so far: Will Clare, Chris Wilson, Scott Mysterious, ooh, Matt Quine, Fletch Fletcher, Phil Tomsett, Moog Gravett, and Colin Anderson. Thanks so much for donating. If you want to do that, like I said, patreon.com/guitar nerds for extra content every week. Also do join us on Twitter. We've had some new people on there recently. This week's quite good.
Yeah.
Twitter.com/guitar nerds or just @guitar nerds. And also the YouTube channel has gone absolutely bonkers the last couple of weeks. Like, loads of new people subscribing.
When we did the last podcast, we actually had a little meetup, the four of us, and we made some plans for what we're going to be doing.
Some big stuff.
With the YouTube channel. I think we're going to be doing some cool stuff, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, so, go over there, youtube.com/guitar nerds.
We should really stop just like talking about it and actually
do some just stuff. Do it, well, you know, I've written a new video.
Yeah.
I might record it this week. I've got some time off.
Cool.
It's going to be good. And if you want to follow me on the Twitter, @mark_random, this week I've been talking about headphones and I've been talking about computer games.
So just a normal week, really?
Yeah, just the normal stuff. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter @JAYBN1.
Thanks for sticking with us this week. Sorry it's a bit of a shorter episode. Like I said, we had our normal thing we record on blow up. Hopefully this has come out alright.
Hope so. We'll do a longer one next week.
Yeah, we'll make up for it. And also, you know, if you want to check out the Patreon, you'll get some more
stuff. What are we talking about on Patreon?
Patreon topic this week for Patreon is now the right time to buy a Gibson?
Oh,
also,
cool.
What are the biggest bargains?
There we go. Into it.
Patreon.com/guitar nerds. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Cheers, Em.
Cheers, bye. I'm a sneaky little sewage. I'm such a sneaky little sewage. I'm a sewage. I'm a sewage. I'm a sneaky little sewage. I'm a sewage. I'm a sewage. I'm a sneaky little sewage.
Sneaky little sewage.
I'm so glad I haven't got the input monitor on, because otherwise I'd have to listen to what you're saying.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.